live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilah Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, it's emerged that a patient at Letterkenny University Hospital has been waiting over 2 days for a bed on a ward. Irish Water has agreed to fast-track upgrade works to the water supply which serves Gortahork and Fulcara. A fisherman has been rescued off the coast of Armoore today after suffering an injury on board a vessel. And a man has appeared at Letterkenny District Court charged in connection with a number of burglaries in the Lifford area. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, it's emerged that a patient at Letterkenny University Hospital has been waiting over 2 days for a bed on a ward. The patient, who was admitted earlier this week, is currently on a trolley placed in a corridor in the hospital from where they have to make their way to another ward to use toilet and shower facilities. Councillor Micheál Colmagill-Osbach says this is another unfortunate reminder of the government's failure to adequately fund the health system.
I was contacted this morning by a constituent of mine who was in quite a distressed state because of the sad reality that they're lying in a trolley in Letterkenny General Hospital. And I suppose this last good number of years has become a norm which we should never accept, and the failure for this government to adequately fund our hospital and staff our hospital. If you look at the great work that the staff do in our hospitals, not alone in Letterkenny but throughout the whole county, but the sad reality is, which I strongly believe, that there's a deliberate attempt by a Conservative government to downgrade our hospital services so that they can justify the moves to privatisation. We've seen it happening right across the world, and I believe that our own state is no more different. So I would be calling on the Minister to step in immediately and to rectify this ongoing problem, which the Minister is in a position to bring change. We see third world countries who don't experience anywhere near the chaos that we have on a daily basis in our healthcare system.
The Minister for Health says a new deal between the INMO and the government is good for nurses, patients and the health service. 62% of nurses have voted in favour of proposals to resolve their dispute over pay and staff shortages. The deal includes commitments to safe staffing levels, higher salary scales and increased allowances. It follows 3 days of strike action earlier this year, which led to thousands of cancelled operations and outpatient appointments. INMO General Secretary Phil Nihay hopes it will encourage Irish nurses abroad to come home.
We're saying to them now that there is a really good increase in the staff nurse salary. There are clearly commitments from government to fund correct staffing levels. The Irish Public Health Service, if this is implemented properly and if government take the approach that we hope they do, we will see an improvement in staffing levels.
A man has appeared at Letterkenny District Court today charged in connection with a number of burglaries in the Lifford area. The man was arrested yesterday as part of an investigation into commercial burglaries. Laura Donnelly reports.
Detectives investigating recent commercial burglaries in the Lifford area arrested a man in the town yesterday in connection with burglaries, attempted burglaries and criminal damage incidents in the area during March and April. The man was subsequently detained at Letterkenny Garda Station under Section 4 of the Criminal Justice Act 1984 and interviewed in connection with the crimes. He was then charged in connection with the crimes and appeared before a sitting of Letterkenny District Court today, where he was remanded on bail to appear before the courts on a later date. Gardaí have thanked the public for their assistance so far in the investigation. Anyone with further information regarding the burglaries is asked to contact detectives at Letterkenny Garda Station.
The announcement that Irish Water is to fast-track upgrade works to the water supply serving Gortahork and Fulcara has been widely welcomed. It's after numerous outages on the supply in recent times left many residents without water and businesses forced to shut their doors as a result. The utility says that the necessary funding is in place to carry out the works, with design due to commence in the coming weeks. It's expected that all works will be complete long before the initial October start date. In the interim, some mitigation works will be carried out along the pipe network to ensure the burst frequency is reduced. Cathaoirleá of Donegal County Council, Councillor Seamus O'Donnell, has committed to ensuring the promises made are delivered.
Irish Water had said that the work would commence in October. This means now that the work will commence before October. Design work will commence in the next 10 days to 2 weeks. And the actual work of replacing the pipe in the Garda Hark area and Fulcarra area will then happen over the summer months. And they are putting in mitigating measures in the interim to ensure the burst frequency reduces and also to ensure that businesses and the places where most population are in the Fulcarra and Garda Hark areas do not suffer as many bursts as they would have done. So it's good news, and I'm glad to be in a position to deliver it as the local representative on the ground.
And as you say, there had been some concern locally over the details surrounding that work by Irish Water. Are you confident that the work in question now that has been confirmed to you this morning will eradicate those bursts entirely, or the majority even?
Well, it will eradicate the majority of bursts. There are still outlying areas such as Dunmore, such as Meathclady, such as Cairnsport, Meanlar and Derrynconner, which will need pipe replacement works, and Irish Water have committed to me that they will meet me and we'll discuss those at a frank and open meeting. But what this will do is this will mean that the whole parish of Clonmacnoise, that's Fulcarra and Garda Hark and wider areas, will not all be out at the same time, because that pipe is going to be replaced, which effectively is taking the water from the water treatment plant in Garda Hark up to the reservoir in Cashel. Then the reservoir empties out. So what they're doing now is they are fast-tracking this money. They have given in to the calls that I've made to allocate emergency funding. They have done that, and I'm glad that they have, and they've seen sense and reason. And I will be meeting with them again next week to ensure that everything is put in place to fast-track this and to ensure that the work is carried out.
There won't be an agreement on power sharing in Northern Ireland unless all sides are compromised. That's according to the Taoiseach, who sent the warning to Sinn Féin and the DUP. Talks on restoring the Stormont executive after more than 2 years will get underway next week. Leo Varadkar says both sides will need to accommodate each other.
I want them to know that if they're willing to make difficult compromises, compromises that maybe mightn't go down very well with their support bases, the governments will be fully behind them in that and will give them whatever cover and support they need to do it.
A fisherman has been rescued off the coast of Armagh today after suffering an injury on board a vessel. The alarm was raised at around 10:30 this morning, and the Armagh RNLI launched to assist the fisherman, who was located approximately 40 miles off Armagh Island. The fisherman was brought ashore to Burtonport and transferred to Letterkenny University Hospital for further treatment. Armagh Lifeboat Press Officer is Nora Flanagan.
The Armagh RNLI lifeboat was launched at 10:30 this morning to go to the assistance of an injured fisherman on board a 40-foot crabber at the trawler 40 miles northwest of Arranmore.
And I'm sure it was a very swift response from the Arranmore RNLI.
Absolutely. The lifeboat has been relatively busy. Not as busy as we normally are, but that's the type of work that we do. Sometimes we can have call outs and, you know, several call outs in a week and nothing then for a couple of months. But that is the nature of the service that we provide. But we are on call 24/7, and we're always waiting to help people who get into trouble on the sea. We also do medical evacuations from the island. So it's a vital service to the community of Arranmore.
Pro-IRA graffiti has emerged in the area where Liam McKee was shot in Derry. Slogans such as "informers will be executed" and "IRA here to stay" come hours after the PSNI assured witnesses they'd be given anonymity. Signs on lampposts with a picture of a rat on them can also be seen in the Craigan area. A meeting in Burnfoot last night has heard that the floods of August 2017 remains a devastating incident which has not been fully addressed. Some families in the village are still in limbo as to when they can return to their homes, while others who have returned are said to be living in constant fear of when a flood could destroy their home again. While €1.5 million has been secured to build some flood prevention measures, there are calls for the project to be fast-tracked. Councillor Jack Murray says there are families in Boncrana, Quigley's Point and throughout Inishowen who have yet to be assured of such funding. He says anger and frustration is being felt right across the peninsula.
Burnfoot is indicative of feeling across Inishowen and those homes that got destroyed, that flood protection measures nearly 2 years on, we're still waiting for them. Burnfoot, through their tenacity and through their perseverance, secured €1.5 million to build flood defences. And that's progressing, albeit at a slow pace. That's progressing in Elm Park, Riverdale, and along the Crana. Those developments have no assurances yet as to when flood defence measures will be built. So I think a message was sent loud and clear last night that people remain extremely, extremely frustrated. And to be honest, they have every reason to feel that way.
So really what you're saying here is for the project at Burn Foot to be fast-tracked here and maybe some assurances given to other areas who have not yet got that surety of funding for flood protection measures.
Absolutely. Now, an executive engineer has finally been put in place from the council to progress the Burn Foot flood protection measures. And there will be a lot of kind of hoops and obstacles to overcome and stages to get through. So it is progressing. That's the one assurance that we could give to the people of Burn Foot. It is progressing and will be done. I can imagine now that the people of Elm Park and Riverdale and Buncrana will be crying out to get that far. They still don't have any assurance of any monies, but I think it's just a wake-up call, a reminder, if it was needed, that across Inishowen, there's communities that remain in fear that floods are going to come again, destroy their homes once again. And as of yet, we don't have the defence measures to protect those people.
A Garda who spoke to two boys accused of Anna Creashell's murder says he was unhappy with accounts of their movements through a park near her home on the day she went missing. The boys, who are aged 14, both deny murdering the schoolgirl, and one of them is also facing an additional charge of aggravated sexual assault. Our court's correspondent Frank Rainey reports.
It is the prosecution's case that boy A violently sexually assaulted and murdered Anna Creashell on May 14th last year. The allegation against boy B is that he lured her from her home in Leakslip and helped his friend cover up what happened. Both boys have pleaded not guilty. Today, Sergeant Angus Hussey gave evidence of walking through a park near Anna's home with the two boys the day after she went missing. He said he wanted to go over the route they said they'd taken with her the previous day. Boy B said he'd brought her there to meet boy A so they could discuss relationship issues. Sergeant Hussey said boy B seemed uncertain and confused when he pointed out they were walking a different route to the one he indicated. He said he felt something was wrong when boy A gave boy B a look at one point, and he claimed their accounts lacked consistency. Anna's naked body was found in a derelict building in Lucan a few days later. Frank Graney, the Central Criminal Court.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure in Letterkenny, with the new Adidas Messi range now available, including jerseys, jackets, bottoms and boots. See in-store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and time for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We're starting with some soccer news. Arsenal boss Unai Emery says the Europa League tie with Valencia could go either way. The two sides meet in North London tonight in the first leg of their semi-final. Emery is aiming to become the first manager ever to win the competition four times.
A big team with a great history and also with a lot of experience. And this semi-final, I think, is 50-50. And I think we can enjoy.
Chelsea there in Germany for the first leg of their Europa League tie. They're up against Eintracht Frankfurt. Both those games kick off at 8 o'clock. Back at home, John Cotter says he's honoured to become Cork City's new interim manager. John Caulfield's former assistant will be in the dugout for Cork's trip to Bohemians in the Electricity League tomorrow evening. Colin Healy and club captain Alan Bennett, they have joined Cotter's management team. Up in Scotland, Celtic boss Neil Lennon says it was an obvious decision for the club to take up their option of extending the contract of Scott Sinclair by a further year. It means the winger, who moved to Parkhead from Aston Villa in 2016, will be with the Premiership champions until at least the end of next season. Lennon says he'll continue to be an important player for the team going forward. In Gaelic games, Mayo manager James Horan has revealed a starting 15 for their Connacht Senior Football Championship match away to New York on Sunday. There's two changes from the side that beat Kerry in the Division 1 League final, with James McCormick and Evan Regan coming in for Donal Vaughan and Dermot O'Connor. McCormick will make his championship debut with Matthew Ryan and James Kerr also starting for the first time. The winners of Sunday's game will play either Roscommon or Leitrim in the semi-finals, and Horan says the trip to the States brings its own challenges.
Yeah, the flight and the hotels and the hydration and all that kind of thing. But hopefully we've done it before. Played in England and played in New York in 2014. So just trying to get as much of that right as you can, or as much of it as you can control, and try and be as right as we can for 2:15 on May 5th. So we're looking forward to it. There's a lot of families and a lot of people going out for Mayo, which is, you know, a big part of it and a big part of the GAA.
Meanwhile, Galway manager Kevin Walsh has handed out four debuts for Sunday's Connacht Senior Football Championship quarter-final against London and Ruislip. David Wynne, John Daly, Anton O'Lee and Parik Cunningham, they all make their championship debuts. The winners of that tie will play Sligo in the semi-finals. Moving on to golf, and on the PGA Tour this week, three Irish players taking part. First of those out in the course was Seamus Power. He finished with a 2-under par round of 69. He actually double bogeyed his last hole to finish in 2-under par. Patrick Harrington, he's struggling on the course. He's 4-over par through 13. Rory McIlroy, he tees off about 10-6 Irish time. Martin Laird and Nick Taylor, they lead the way. They're both on 4-under par with a couple of holes left to play. On the European Tour this week, it's the Volvo China Open, and Paul Dunne had a disappointing start to the tournament. He shot a 4-over par round of 76, leading the way on 7-under par after rounds of 65 are Jorge Campillo, David Lipsky and Tapio Pukkanen. Moving on to horse racing, and Jessica Harrington's Polish Steel has won the opening race of day three at the Punchestown Festival. The 16-1 shot was guided home by Robbie Power to take the handicap hurdle. Harrington, who won the race in 2014 with Mike Nicholson and in 2017 with Bob About, and elsewhere today, the 11-4 favourite Snugsborough Hall has won the handicap chase. The Liam Cusack trained 8-year-old had Cork's Dennis O'Regan on board. And the feature race of the day, the Ladbrokes Champions Stairs Hurdle. It goes to post at 5:30, where the Woolly Mullins trained Bapumi is likely to go off as favourite. In snooker, Dave Gilbert leads John Higgins by 5-3 in their World Snooker Championship semi-final at the Crucible. The first to 17 frames will advance to the final. Gary Wilson and Judd Trump, they get their last four tie underway this evening. Finally for this evening in rugby, Sean Edwards has confirmed he'll step down as Welsh defence coach after the Rugby World Cup. He's rejected the offer of a new deal and will leave the setup with head coach Warren Gatland following the tournament. The 52-year-old had verbally agreed to take over Rugby League side Wigan in 2020, but has since decided not to take up the position. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, the government and management at An Post have been criticised over what's been described as the shameful showboating of its recent set of finance results. The figures show that profits for An Post jumped by 400% to €41 million last year. It follows the closure of 151 mainly rural post offices over the last number of months, including 17 in Donegal. Councillor John Seamus O'Farrey says it's clear that decision makers are choosing to put profits ahead of rural communities.
It's absolutely shocking that the amount of profit that the post has accumulated over that period of time. And when you see rural Donegal in the last number of years, the amount of post offices that have closed down, especially in my own area and Brenelac, Gotahark, and the surrounding areas in Burton Boat, and the community were up in arms to try and save these post offices along with local politicians, but none of them were saved. And we see now Leo Varadkar in his own area opening a post office there a few weeks ago. So, I mean, does Fine Gael really care about rural Ireland? I don't think so. And that just proves it now that the amount of post offices closed and that they have a huge profit margin at the end of it. After all, we should be given the same services here in rural Donegal as in Dublin.
In terms of that extortionate profit, do you feel that having closed the post offices across the county and elsewhere, would they have still had profits by the end of last year, or do you think that they would have had losses?
Well, I'm still saying that they would have profits, because if you only look back in 3 or 4 years ago when they introduced the 1 euro stamp, which nobody said anything about. When you're posting a letter now, it's costing you 1 euro, and the considerable rise in prices and posting parcels and letters through An Post and the other services that provide. So they would have still had a profit. How much profit margin do they need?
And finally, the community of Remelton is said to be outraged after Donegal County Council constructed a safety hoarding in front of a derelict building on the quay. The move has been described as a major eyesore, which is now said to be heavily impacting on the town's visual landscape. It's said to call on the local authority to immediately remedy the situation. Speaking earlier today on the 9 till noon show, local councillor Ian McGarvey says the council must come up with an alternative which will both complement the good work being done by various initiatives in the town and safeguard the public.
The thing is so complicated, and the discussions that took place with the officials who will not name on council that day as well, it highlighted to me the difficulty that they face as well. But the overriding project for them is to protect the general public. Now, I'm somebody that previously, when I down motioned about it and all the rest of it, actually had been in the building, went up the building, seen it, and I thought if a young person up that building and was manoeuvring about or carrying on or anything else, and anyone should fall out, that one would be immediate death for them. And I could not overlook it from that day on, and I've been consistently putting down motions that some that it'd be addressed, because had to be addressed, because otherwise it could be a tragedy. And everybody would know then what could have been done. So the overriding thing for the council was automatically protected, but there were other means whereby it wouldn't be so conspicuous to protect that building, namely for wire meshing along the front of it 8 feet high, things like that and so on, which I won't go into, Donal, because they have plenty of advice and information to deal with those kind of problems.
For weather now, a mix of bright and sunny spells today, with highest temperatures of 11 to 13 degrees and a light northwest breeze. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, it's emerged that a patient at Letterkenny University Hospital has been waiting over 2 days for a bed on a ward. The patient, who was admitted earlier this week, is currently on a trolley placed on a corridor in the hospital, from where they have to make their way to another ward to use toilet and shower facilities. A man has appeared at Letterkenny District Court today, charged in connection with a number of burglaries in the Lifford area. The man was arrested yesterday as part of an investigation into commercial burglaries. A fisherman has been rescued off the coast of Armagh today after suffering an injury on board a vessel. The alarm was raised at around 10:30 this morning, and the Armagh Arnalai launched to assist the fisherman, who was located approximately 40 miles off Armagh Island. And pro-IRA graffiti has emerged in the area where Lear McKee was shot in Derry. Slogans such as "informers will be executed" and "IRA are here to stay" come hours after the PSNI assured witnesses they'd be given anonymity. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, May the 2nd. The death has taken place of Edward O'Reilly, 23, Brookvale, Strabane. Remains reposing at his home tomorrow from 12 noon. Funeral leaving his home on Saturday morning at 11:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of John Dalton, Glen Ethura, Glen Carrigard. His remains are reposing at the residence of Daniel Cullen, Fannin Ohan, Milford, from 7:30 this evening. Funeral arrangements to be confirmed later. The death has taken place of Leo O'Connor, Rectory Road, Remelton. His remains are reposing at his late residence, how strictly private at the request of the deceased. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Remelton, followed by cremation in Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan. Family flowers only, no mass cards please, donations if desired to Medical 3 Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Sweeney Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Mary Connolly, née McGillian, late of 43 Barrack Street, Strabane, reposing at her daughter Monica McTighe's home at 5 Ingleside Heights, Strabane, this evening from 6 o'clock. Funeral leaving her daughter's home on Saturday morning at 10:25 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. and the death has taken place of Eileen Morrison at Navan, 48 St Coleman's Drive, Strabane, and formerly of Newton Stewart. Remains reposing at her home this evening from 7 o'clock. Funeral leaving her home on Saturday morning at 25 past 9 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m.